Carson was the salutatorian of his large public high school, earning the school's English award and a partial merit scholarship to a top-rated college. He felt proud and enormously relieved. His hard work had paid off. Without that scholarship, the commuter branch of the state university would have been his destination. And his parents had generously offered to help repay his student loans from the prestigious institution that had accepted him. Their hopes, his dreams, mocked him as he sat in freshman English staring at his paper marked with a large red D. The class hour passed in a blur, and Carson next found himself on the 8th floor of the university library, overlooking the great hall below. He observed himself, contemplating what he would hit if he jumped. The glassed-in archive displays, the long polished table profiling the many recent faculty publications. A fellow student wafted through his thoughts. A girl in his French class had committed suicide only a month into the semester. She'd had a wonderfully droll sense of humor. Carson hadn't understood why she'd killed herself. It seemed she had everything going for her. So sad, so strange. But now, panicked and believing his scholarship jeopardized, his future ruined, he grasped her desperation. A wave of vertigo forced him back from the library's overhang. He sat down and numbly hit the speed dial for the college hotline. Another student answered and kept Carson on the phone long enough for him to calm down and agree to go to the walk-in campus counseling service. And so Carson resisted his terrible and momentary impulse. Very fortunately for him, his crisis of confidence was not superimposed upon major depression or bipolar disease. His momentary panic eventually led to therapy, which promoted a greater resilience and better ability to tolerate setbacks and distress. In addition to vertigo and the absence of mental illness, the serendipity of many emotional skills came to Carson's aid that afternoon. A strong connection to his family and friends, and a willingness to seek help, also enabled him to step back from the balcony and make that call. His family environment had fostered the non-cognitive skills that empowered him to ask for help when needed. His parents consistently praised his effort more than the outcome. They quietly noticed and supported his interests. When Carson made mistakes, they joked, "Pobody's nerfect." His family talked through problems but didn't solve them for him. His emotional preparation broke through his fleeting despair. As his thinking cleared, he recalled how he had coped with another D on a high school calculus test. At first, he had freaked out. "My high school ranking will drop." Then he told his parents, who encouraged him to talk with the teacher. It was this emotional resilience and preparation for adversity that saved him when his academics failed him. Whether coming early or late to these skills, we firmly believe that all students can learn them. Yet the sad truth is that many students are not so fortunate or so well prepared when caught in the epidemic of college-age mental health problems. The current and incoming generations of college students need to be better equipped with the maturity boost that social-emotional intelligence provides. Being better prepared for the roller coaster of college life will reduce the chances of their coming off the rails. And what about the parents on the other side of these frightening experiences? Instead of the nostalgic truism that college will be the best years of your life, we hear from countless parents concerned about how their children's lives are falling apart. Despite all they've done to educate and support their talented child, they see signs of wobbling begin to appear in the form of poor coping, anxiety, depression, or emotional upheaval. As two well-established experts on late adolescent psychiatry and family psychology, we've coached families through such times, giving parents tools to help their once confident students preserve or regain their ability to organize time, work, and even the basics of sleeping and eating. Yet many students are unprepared for the removal of home's invisibly embedded emotional and cognitive scaffolding.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.